From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, the importance of the State Department, the Supreme Court sides with churches, and a push for secular voters. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Reagan Republican, and Christ follower. With Christmas, one of the most religious holidays on the calendar, less than 2 weeks away, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins invited Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to join him for an update on religious freedom around the world and our country's push to have freedom of religion everywhere.
Mr. Secretary, welcome back to the program.
Tony, it's great to be with you.
I want to start first with your speech yesterday, which has created a little bit of a stir because you really took this to the university campuses of America, saying that in some cases they're being willfully duped by the Chinese Communist Party.
Tony, I've made a point as my time as Secretary of State to talk to the American people about why what it is we do in national security world, whether that's Department of Defense, State Department, or others, why it matters, and the things that they can do and how it impacts their lives. And so one of the places I wanted to go was to an American research institution, a great place, Georgia Tech, where the Chinese Communist Party sees our research institutions as opportunities to steal, opportunities to replace, and opportunities to repress not only Americans, but Chinese nationals studying at those institutions as well. And so we laid out yesterday the fact pattern for how the Chinese Communist Party has essentially infiltrated these institutions of higher learning and begun to exert enormous influence there, both by their presence and by their connectivity to students who are studying there, as well as by the money that they provide to these institutions.
And you argue that this is a threat to our freedoms. It degrades the freedoms of Americans, and it threatens our national security.
Well, I was very clear. There are Chinese students studying at our universities who are just perfectly fine, and they came here to learn, and they want to make their lives better, and often they stay here in the United States and do in fact work in ways that make America more free and more prosperous. But we have almost 400,000 Chinese students on an average year studying here, and too many of those have deep connections to the Chinese security apparatus, to the Chinese People's Liberation Army. We've seen the cases that the FBI has brought just in the last 18 months alleging precisely this kind of activity. And our institutions of higher learning have a responsibility to protect their students, including the Chinese nationals who are studying there. And they have a responsibility to all of us that if they are receiving money from those institutions, they have a legal requirement to disclose it. And they need to make sure that they're using these funds in a way that's consistent with the American mission that they're all engaged in.
Are you concerned that this America First policy that has brought it to a head, this relationship with China, but exposed a lot of things, are you concerned that if there's a Biden administration, we're going to revert to what would be, in effect, a China First policy?
It would be unacceptable for the American people to go back to where we were before the Trump administration came in. And I don't mean that as a partisan attack. Frankly, there were Republican administrations before President Obama that didn't confront China in the way that it demands to keep us all safe and prosperous. So I am hopeful that the American consensus that I believe is out there that understands this risk, right, this virus that came from Wuhan, the massive violations of human rights and the religious freedom violations that are taking place in Tibet and in Mongolia and in Western China for the Uyghurs today. These things that the American people can see with their own eyes. And so I'm very hopeful that whoever is sitting in the White House, not only 50 days from now, but 500 days from now and 5,000 days from now, takes this threat in a way that is serious and responds in a way that will protect the American people from the Chinese Communist Party's clear intention to have global dominance.
Well, you mentioned religious freedom, and I want to transition to that topic now because this is a topic you and I have talked about on this program. We've talked about it privately, and that is the issue of Nigeria, where there is the potential, I believe, of genocide, where you see this religious collision that is taking place between Muslims and Christians, and Christians are dying. This week, for the first time, the State Department designated Nigeria as a country of particular concern. Explain that to our listeners.
So, Tony, the State Department doesn't make this decision lightly or without substantial factual basis for doing so. There, a lot of work went into that designation and to that analysis. We stare at the conversations we've had with the Nigerian government. They tell us they want to get this right. We want to do everything we can to help them get this right. But there's a real burden that they face. They have to treat their citizens in a way that doesn't treat them differently because of their faith. And today that's simply something that has a particular concern for us, that Christians are being treated in a way inside of Nigeria that is inconsistent with that government's responsibility. And so we wanted to identify that. We wanted to make the world aware of the American concern about this. I am confident other nations will join us in that concern. And then we want to work alongside the leadership, not only the governmental leadership, but the civilian leadership in Nigeria. And we want to eradicate this problem. We want the Nigerian people to be successful, but it can't be the case that this kind of religious intolerance and indeed the terrible actions that have been taken against some Christians can be tolerated.
I mean, this is systematic, egregious violations of religious freedom that is taking place either with the government's direct involvement or them allowing it to occur without addressing it. And so this is an established standard. It's not arbitrary. They join, a pretty bad neighborhood of actors. I mean, the State Department designating Burma, China, Eritrea, Iran, the North Korean country, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Tajikistan, and Turkmenistan, all designated as countries of particular concern. With this designation, this obviously is bringing a fine point to religious freedom and the violations of it, but there's also some bright spots in what has happened as a result of the leadership of this administration globally on religious freedom.
Oh, Tony, it's so true. I'm an optimist. Maybe that's because I'm a person of faith, but I am confident that the direction of travel is right and that our administration has made those countries that want to move in the right direction on religious freedom welcome. We've supported them. We've given them help in getting there. It makes their people more whole. It ceases to deny their people basic fundamental rights. That makes governments more secure. So I'm optimistic. And in the case of Nigeria in particular, we want them all to move in the right direction. This is not the case that we want to call them out for the sake of punishment. We want to assist them in moving in the right direction so that next year or the year after, we won't identify them as being a particular concern, but rather as a model for religious freedom around the world.
Like Sudan that came off the
list. Yes, sir. Exactly.
So there are good, positive developments, and I attribute that in a large part to the focus that you and the Trump administration have placed on religious freedom internationally. And for that, there are people literally around the globe that have hearts of gratitude this year, especially I think it's significant as we move into Christmas. Mr. Secretary, I want to thank you for joining us today. As always, great to talk with you. And if I don't see you before, have a very Merry Christmas.
You have a blessed Christmas too, Tony. Hope you're doing well. So long.
You can find out more about Mike Pompeo when you visit TonyPerkins.com. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com.
Masculinity in America has never been under attack the way it is today. From his experience as a military combat officer and ordained minister of the gospel, Lieutenant General William Boykin has seen and dealt with firsthand the breakdown of leadership in our nation by the lack of godly men. In his latest book, Man to Man, Rediscovering Masculinity in a Challenging World, he addresses the essential elements of manhood and explains how to personally develop these traits and pass them to the next generation. Get your copy of Man to Man wherever books are sold.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. With the government's call for 2 weeks to slow the spread stretching into its ninth month, state governors, mostly in blue states, have cracked down on churches disproportionately. Now, churches are fighting back, and they are making progress at the Supreme Court. Joining Tony Perkins to talk about this discrimination against churches is Oklahoma Senator James Lankford.
Senator, welcome back to the program.
Hey, good to be with you again, Tony.
All right, this is, we're seeing this happening. I mean, this has been happening for the last 10 months all across the country. But some good developments here where we see the court stepping in, and now we've got senators standing unified in defense of religious freedom. Are you optimistic the court's going to step in here?
I am optimistic on this. The court stepped in just right before Thanksgiving in New York and stated that the governor of New York can't say that bars and bike shops can be open, but churches cannot be open in certain zones. They've done the same thing now to California, to the governor of California, and said, you can't just declare that churches are higher risk than other locations, so I'm going to close them down. So, in fact, the Attorney General in California, Javier Becerra, personally engaged in this to try to block churches from meeting, saying in his opinion churches are more high risk because people get together and sing, and if you're singing, that's a higher risk. And then now this situation in Kentucky, where if you're a religious school, you're being blocked out on that. So we're pushing back in that. The court so far in California and New York has pushed back. I'm confident they will in Kentucky as well.
You know, Senator, when I look at this, it is so blatant. In fact, you made reference to this last Supreme Court decision where Gorsuch, Justice Gorsuch, and his opinion, I mean, he basically says as much, that there's no justification for this. This is plain and simple religious discrimination.
It is plain and simple religious discrimination. That's what it made so appalling in California, especially with Javier Becerra stepping out and saying if people sing and gather in places, that's a higher risk to be able to do that. And so it's okay to be able to go to the store. It's okay to be able to go to a bowling alley. It's okay to be able to gather in other places, but just don't gather in worship places because it doesn't meet his preference to be able to do that. It's clearly the issue here in Kentucky as well because the governor very specifically stated that he doesn't want schools to be able to meet, even if they're a religious institution, to be able to meet. That's a preference thing for the governor, but he still allowed other preschools to be open. He still allowed other stores to be open, other businesses to be open. And so, again, you can't just step in and say, even specifically as the governor did in Kentucky, religious institutions have to close because that's the governor's preference. Thankfully, the United States Constitution supersedes the governor, and people of faith, no matter what faith that may be, have the opportunity to be able to live their faith.
Yeah, unfortunately, you now have a court that agrees with the Constitution and will defend it, which is encouraging. You mentioned twice the Attorney General of California, Javier Becerra, and you know he is actually being talked about. In fact, not been talked about, the potential Biden administration talking about naming him as Secretary of Health and Human Services. He has a pretty radical record when it comes to issues not only like religious freedom, conscience rights, and life issues. This guy is pretty far out there.
He is extremely far left, actually, and he would be a very serious risk to the life of every young child in America. If they're in the womb, they're at risk with Javier Becerra as the Attorney General of the United States, because he will, or in HHS, because he is going to try to push in every way he can to expand abortion in the United States if he were to be in that role. And there's just no question about that. He is one that would try to expand the oversight of government oversight of a private health care insurance, all the things that there's been so much work to be able to protect the rights of people of conscience and people of faith. That's not his preference. And so he has clearly tried to impose his preference on people of faith in California. I have no doubt if he was in HHS, he would try to impose his preference as well there.
So when you look at individuals like Becerra, that brings a really fine focus onto the United States Senate and these two seats that will be decided in Georgia, because that will decide whether or not someone like that will be confirmed to that post.
That is correct. So the seats in Georgia are extremely important because there's an enormous difference between a 50-50 Senate and a 52-48 Senate, just in what legislation is actually taken up, how we handle nominations, what the process will be to be able to go through for judges. All those things will be very, very important So for the people of Georgia to be able to make that decision, literally the entire country is focused in on what's going to happen in Georgia right now with already early voting that's already occurring, or on January the 5th, the actual election day itself.
Very quickly, Senator Lankford, you've been working with the Department of Labor announcing today a final rule that upholds religious liberty, showing such a contrast between what we're just talking about and what's been happening in the last 4 years.
Yeah, it's a great rule. In the Obama-Biden administration locked down on people of faith that they couldn't partner with government if they're a faith-based institution. This administration has completely flipped that rule and said faith-based groups are treated exactly the same as other groups. There should be no discrimination against them. That's all anyone should ask. Treat everyone the same, whether regardless of faith or not.
And, of course, we can look for an incoming Biden administration to reverse that rule, but it'll take them some time to do that. Senator Lankford, as always, thanks for being with us. Great to talk with you, my friend.
You as well. Merry Christmas to you.
You can find out more about Senator Lankford when you visit tonyperkins.com. Also, if you've missed any of our radio programs or video events, you can find them at our website, tonyperkins.com.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins. Georgia's U.S. Senate races will have a profound impact on the future of America. That's why FRC Action and AFA Action invite you to join us for our Pray Vote Stand Georgia Rally Tuesday, December the 15th at 7 p.m. at Truett McConnell University in Cleveland. Join me, Congressman Doug Collins, Congressman Louie Gohmert, Todd Starnes, Abraham Hamilton, and others as we discuss how you can make a difference. For more details, visit PrayVoteStand.org. That's PrayVoteStand.org.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. With former Vice President Joe Biden preparing for his administration to take over, pending the court's intervention, a roadmap for his administration has been released, and here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins to tell you just a little bit about it.
Secular Democrats for America. They released this on November the 30th. Quote, we've offered the new administration a roadmap to restore our basic constitutional values and protect science, reason, and public health in American government. This is Representative Jamie Raskin and Jared Huffman. Now, the co-chairs of the Congressional Free Thought, they're both co-chairs of the Congressional Free Thought Caucus, as well as a caucus member, Jerry McKernney. They call out the Trump administration for advancing a right-wing Christian nationalist agenda and offer a path for the Biden-Harris administration to restore the secular government envisioned by our nation's founders. Now, I'm quoting from their press release. This is what they want. And this is interesting what they state. According to Pew Research, non-religious Americans represent a huge chunk of the electorate, 30% of the 2018 voters, and are overwhelmingly pro-Biden. The demographic is the youngest, fastest-growing religious group. Notice they say religious group. In the nation that has been recognized by the Democratic Party as a core element of their constituency now and in the future. And this is, I guess, their executive director, Levin, saying it's discouraging that only one party nominated candidates who respect expertise and make decisions based on science, reason, and evidence. Really. I think that's baloney. I mean, on science, you're going to hear this a lot, that they're the pro-science party, really. So what about the science of life, when life begins? They deny that science. What about the basic biology? Females have X chromosomes, males have X and Y chromosomes. They deny that science. So that's hogwash that they're the party of science. But let me move on. Let's talk about this Secular Democrats of America. What do they stand for? What are they about? Secular governance, mobilizing non-religious voters. Here's something they say. In 2019, the Democratic National Committee made unprecedented strides to include the non-religious, a community long stigmatized and left without a seat at the table by passing Resolution 38. Now, this is the Democratic Party. And electing a representative of the secular community to the DNC Interfaith Council. Now, why is that important? Well, we're going to talk about that. Engaging this demographic, which represents nearly one in three voters under 35, will be key to winning elections in the future. Wait a minute. This is political. They're talking about elections. I thought that's what they were accusing evangelicals of being political. Uh-huh. What is a secular caucus? Again, I'm reading from their website. Well, this is what they say they want to do. Protecting the separation of religion and government as the best guarantee of religious freedom for all Americans. Really? While the Secular Democrats of America represent secular caucuses within the Democratic Party, there is also a Congressional Freethought Caucus and an association of secular elected officials. We are hopeful. Listen to this. We are hopeful that soon there will be secular or free thought caucuses in legislative bodies throughout the country. Be watching. They want to move this attack on religious freedom to your state. Now, mobilizing the secular voting bloc. While non-religious and religious unaffiliated Americans are not monolithic, they are largely united on issues such as climate crisis, civil rights, immigration, and more, making for a powerful Democratic voting bloc. They comprise the single largest religious demographic in the Democratic Party. Wait a minute. I thought they were non-religious. So now they're religious. And they want to take back religious freedom. Again, quoting, "It is past time for the Democratic Party to take back the mantle of religious freedom from the GOP, which has exposed its hypocrisy for all to see by supporting Donald Trump. Christian nationalists," that's you, "have found willing participants in the Republican Party who will join their crusade to destroy the wall of separation that protects religion from government and government from religion." Yeah, it's not the separation of church and state. It is the separation of God from government that they actually want. Continuing, eliminating the stigma of being non-religious. So what are they going after? One of the things they say, and I'm quoting, "God and country are common refrains that continue to stigmatize and exclude the secular community." So take note, they want to remove, and in fact, in their roadmap, they want to change the motto from "In God We Trust." They want to scratch that. So look for the pledge "Under God" to be changed as well. That's a part of their effort, a part of their interfaith collaboration. "We celebrate and strive for pluralism and peaceful coexistence among people of all faiths and none." But, of course, they do want to exclude evangelicals who believe the Bible. "Advancing religious freedom. We advocate for a religious freedom that protects the freedom of religion as vigorously as one that protects freedom from religion." That's insightful. So what are their issues? Civil rights. "We oppose religious exemptions." Basically, any business that says, "I'm a religious, I don't want to be forced to do this or that," they don't want that. And look at this. In healthcare, in the United States, and I'm again quoting from their website, 1 in 6 hospital beds are in a Catholic institution where care can be dictated by religious doctrine. Well, yes, Catholic hospitals, thank God, that the church let out years ago to provide health care. And so now in America, yes, there are a lot of faith-based hospitals that are providing care to all people, but they don't want to be forced to perform abortions, to do radical sex changes and mutilate people's bodies. They want to force them. That's what they're talking about when it comes to religious freedom. Of course, they support the United States reentry into the Paris Climate Agreement. Okay, I'm going to get down to the military and national character. "We support the recognition of humanist chaplains by the Department of Defense and measures to increase oversight of military chaplains to ensure that chaplains are serving service members of all faith and none equally." Wait a minute. They call themselves non-religious, but yet they want to be included in religious dialogue. They are validating the point that has long been made that secularism is a religion. It is a religion, and they want to be treated like a religion. They want atheist chaplains. I mean, that's an oxymoron. Unless secularism is a religion. So if it is, and their doctrines, then therefore, such as evolution and transgenderism, should be treated like religion and banned from our schools. They're making the argument for us that secularism is a religion. Now, I didn't even get to the roadmap yet, but I'm not going to have time because I'm going to run out of time. I'm going to have to revisit this issue. But I'm reading from, and I'm going to put this up on my website so you can see it. This is going to be at TonyPerkins.com. So read it for yourself. I'm not making any of this up. This is their preamble, in part. We urge you, this is to Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, we urge you not to underestimate the institutional strength of what we refer to interchangeably in this document as the Christian nationalist movement or the religious right. This movement is extraordinarily well-funded and well-organized, and the manifestation of its extreme and sectarian agenda is on constant display under the Trump-Pence administration. Its political ideology is anti-democratic and anti-science. It provides constant cover for white supremacy, and it advances a reactionary economic policy, tax policy, and dominionist view of the environment that undermines our capacity and will to address climate change. With their political agenda sanctioned by a higher power, that would be God, their base of support is disciplined, motivated, and deeply committed to a vision that does not align with our basic constitutional values and democratic principles. Well, it does align with the Constitution, and it does align with democratic principles, but not Democratic Party principles. So they go on to say, we ask that you counter this movement's narrative by actively working to dismantle its grip on our government and counter its inaccurate and revisionist messaging around our nation's founding. It is no longer enough just to champion the rights of minorities and marginalized communities or to promote inclusion and equality. We urge you to champion America's original constitutional secularism and the separation of church and state as core governing principles that protect religious freedom for people of all faiths and none at all. We implore you to help educate the American public by reasonably defining what religious freedom really means, that every American has a right to practice his or her religion without interference, but no religious group can impose religious dogma or orthodoxy on another citizen or other faith and belief system. Basically, you can believe what you want in your head, but you can't live it out in society. That's what they want. And they actually state as much. I don't have time. I'm out of time. But I'm going to revisit this because I'm going to go through this line by line, because this is their roadmap. And we cannot neglect it. This is what we are going to see from a Biden administration. And you need to be prepared. So, if you want to look at it yourself, again, I'm going to put a link up at TonyPerkins.com.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I want to encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234.